Proverbs chapter 13. Tonight, the unmarried people are going to get more prep, amen, and more preparation. So I know this will help the married couples in our and the families in our church, but you teenagers, I hope you're taking real careful note. I know there's a lot of adults that when they hear these Bible studies, the biggest thing I've heard is, boy, I wish I would have heard that when I was young. I hear that over and over again. Proverbs 13, I'm going to read down to verse 12. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, and he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, and yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with a well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. And my text verse tonight is verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And let's pray. Father, please use this tonight, and thank you for the truth. Lord, I know it isn't always pleasant, but Lord, I know it's always good, regardless of how I feel. So thank you for your word. Thank you for what you tell us in your word. Please let this be a help to each person here. Strengthen us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Nobody gets married hoping for a divorce. Every person that gets married for life. They know till death do us part. Lost or saved, every person gets married for life. No one gets married to have a miserable life. If you marry the wrong one, you will have a long, miserable life. It will make your life miserable. When you work at your marriage and seek to love and to help your spouse, your marriage can be the greatest source of joy and happiness outside of your salvation. Marriage is a wonderful thing designed by God. There are some horrible marriages. There are marriages where both people say, "I wish I had never gotten married." I've heard that through the years. There are problems that can cause a marriage, like our text verse says, to lose hope. Hope deferred or delayed maketh the heart sick. This doesn't mean that the couple quits, but it does mean that they're heartbroken. Tonight, the name of the Bible study, if that's what you'd like to call it, is called How a Dream Became a Nightmare. How did a dream, started out well, become a nightmare? And I'm going to give you a couple of problems that how a dream becomes of a nightmare. Problem number one. Ready? Unreal expectations. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Unreal expectations. We live in a society that is programmed by Hollywood and media and the music culture, and everything is Fantasyland and Disney and it's not real. There's no reality. And so if you grow up watching TV and you're programmed by society, you literally end up with this fantasy that does not exist anywhere. and unreal expectations can be I find them that the number one problem. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 28. And boy, you teenagers need to mark this verse and understand it and know it, right? It says here, 1 Corinthians 7:28, "But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you." See that phrase there? Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. God plainly says, this is not just talking about Christians. This is talking about everybody and anybody who gets married. Marriage does not solve problems. It exposes problems. But fantasy land, Hollywood, all that, oh, if we can just get married, all our problems will be solved. You're living in la-la land. That does not exist. God does not say you'll have sin when you get married, but you will have trouble. In other words, you're going to have problems to work through. Marriage, I think it's just such a basic Bible truth. Marriage produces problems. Think the basic concept. Marriage is two sinners planning till death do they part to be joined together in one flesh. You don't think there's going to be problems? Two people that have an inward rebellion towards God to where it's hard enough to get them saved, let alone dealing with a perfect God who provides a perfect salvation, let alone a sinner with rebellion in his heart joining himself to another person that has sin and rebellion. You don't think there's going to be problems? I'm amazed at how many people, why is there so much problems in the world? I mean, the world never faces the fact they're sinners. That's why we have problems in the world. That's why the world is a horrible place. That's why the vile things that take place, because mankind is a sinner. Well, now put that with marriage. No, putting two sinners together is not going to solve problems. It will expose problems. I think you should have the reality that there's going to be problems and struggles to work through. Okay? How about this thought? It's easier to serve the Lord single than when married. It is. It's hard enough. Okay, it's hard enough to get you to read your Bible when you're single. How much harder do you think it is than to lead your household? If it's hard for you to read your Bible and pray on a regular basis, how much harder is it? It is. It's a struggle. It is obviously possible. It's harder to feed two people than one person. Whoever came up with that idea, it's cheaper to feed two than one needs to be horsewhipped. You know what I mean? Because, but we love each other, okay? Love is a lot thinner than peanut butter, okay? And you can't eat love, okay? Well, what are we going to do about, okay? It's harder to please two people. When you're single, it's hard enough. Now, how much harder is it to keep everybody in the house? When somebody says, well, preacher, we aren't worried about finances. You will. Think with me this way. Using 1 Corinthians 7:28, God's giving you wisdom for the future. If you have 12 problems before you got married, you'll have 24 after you get married. That's a nice math problem there, okay? Somebody said, and look, I'm not trying to discourage you from marriage. I'm not trying to start a monastery here. Amen. Okay? I am trying to give a reality check in a world of fantasy and to keep you from having unreal expectations. Look, that's how you've heard me say before, that's why people leave church. They have expectations of me that I didn't even know I was supposed to do for them. Well, as a pastor, you're supposed to do this, this, and this, and this. And I mean, it's nowhere in the Bible, but they really think, well, if I'm here, then you're supposed to, you didn't tell me. Well, you disappointed me. You never told me that that's what I had to do to make you happy. Unreal or maybe I should say unknown expectations, it happens in all relationships. Then why should you get married? You should get married because in everybody's hearts, we hope that the benefits will outweigh the problems. You've heard me say from the pulpit before, having a good marriage is one of the easiest things to do in the world if you're not fighting God. It is God. God does not make it an unreachable goal. It is very doable. All right, we know this. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor with the Lord. To find God's will makes you more useful for the Lord. We know that. We know marriage is a good thing. It's not sinful. God was the one who said it's not good for the man to be alone. If you want to take, I've heard this question in the past 30 years. Well, the world's in such a horrible place. Why should we have children? I think several reasons you should have children if you're married. Number one, God tells you to be fruitful and multiply. Number two, the world needs to see godly families. And I don't know where fear of the future is supposed to dictate your decisions now. And the benefits of having kids and raising them for the Lord, it outweighs the negatives of not. That's why. Same thing for marriage. Same thing. Marriage, having children. Why should we? Okay. Here we go. Here's the danger. The man has a danger. He has one problem. He's lonely. Okay? One problem. I need to get married because I'm lonely. Well, buy a dog. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke. Yeah, do not buy Abby's dog. that is one active puppy. Okay, so he's lonely. But then when he gets married, his loneliness is solved, but he gained financial weights and he gained responsibilities, and now more problems were exposed that he needs to fix. Yes, no more loneliness. Praise the Lord. But he has new problems. So, and that's what's not taught. Look, that's why I think before you're married, marriage should be looked at as a high and holy calling. It's something that is, I think it's God's will when it's done right, but you should be preparing yourself and your character. The load is going to get heavier whether you're a man or a woman after you get married. It's not going to get lighter. So if you're partying now and totally irresponsible, it gets really bad when you get married. Because you literally expect somebody to take care of you. And that can't happen. Okay, how about her? She has one problem. She wants security. The woman wants security. She's saying, I just need a white knight in shining armor to take care of me. Yeah, wait until you get married in that white knight in shining armor. He's going to ask you to polish his armor. Then you're not going to want the armor anymore. She's thinking, I just need somebody to take care of me. And when she gets married, that happens. But then there are more problems that are exposed that have to be worked through. So how does a dream become a nightmare? A dream becomes a nightmare, first of all, by unreal expectations. Number two, what else can cause a dream to become a nightmare? Impatience. Our text verse, if you remember Proverbs 13, verse 12, or if you want to put a verse down next to it, we've already read it. But hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. In between the expectation and when it's actually fulfilled is a time frame. And impatience... Okay, the only thing that transforms the hope into a reality is patience. And I don't know why people say, well, yeah, if you go to college, do you realize it takes 4 to 8 years to get your average degree? And after you get your degree of 4 to 8 years, once you get in the workforce, it takes you 10 years to establish the respect of your coworkers where they view you as a professional. Do the math on that. That's 14 to 16 years. 14 to 18 years. Yet a couple can date for a year and a half, get married, And then the patience level, they don't apply the same patience to the marriage that they do to their profession. Men are the worst about this. I'm not saying women can't be impatient, but here's a guy, and he's working, and sometimes when he goes to his workspace, whether he's a tradesman and his shop and things are right where they're supposed to be and he experiences success, or he's an office worker and when he goes into his office, you know, things are set this way. If he isn't careful, he's been doing that for a while, but he gets married and he comes home and he expects his new wife to be flawless with what she's doing, and she just started. And he doesn't take her load into consideration. So now he becomes impatient. Well, how come the house isn't cleaning? How come those dishes aren't done? How come that? And he's not, she's doing this for the first time, and he's already 4 or 5 years into his training and his profession. And he's, men can be, I didn't say they're the only culprits, but they can be a major producer of impatience that causes the hope to be deferred. Patience. It takes time. Divorce happens in the first year because somebody married someone who wasn't perfect. It'd be wonderful if you had this attitude, okay? We know neither one of us is perfect when we get married. So what you married was the raw material for a great spouse. And hopefully you can produce that in each other, because you're going to make mistakes. Versus, well, how come this is like this, and why is this? You married the raw material, and if you'll give them time to grow and love them and help them, they can become what you need. Each other, as far as I'm talking, each viewing it. It takes time to learn one another and to learn to be what each other needs you to be. It takes time. It does not happen in a year. It does not happen. It definitely doesn't happen in a month. It takes time. I said number one, how does a dream become a nightmare? Unreal expectations, fantasy land type stuff. It's garbage. Problem number two, impatience. Problem number three, you ready? Unwillingness to bend. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs 29, verse 1. Ready? Proverbs chapter 29, and look at verse 1. Ready? Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's when somebody hardens their neck, and then it's talking about the ability to bend or flex. It's like he gets harder and harder. And you ever seen somebody bear down and like this? And then it says the neck will snap because there's no bend. When a couple gets married, to some extent, they're used to living by themselves, and each one of them has to adjust. I'm not for 18-year-olds getting married, okay? But they've been living on their own the least amount of time, and they've established the least amount of habits. When you take somebody that's 35 and 38, and they get married, and they've never been married, they've been living by themselves a long time. They're used to doing everything a certain way at a certain time and a certain habit. And the longer they've been living alone on their own, the more adjustments they're going to have to make. Both of them we're going to have to make when they get married. So that needs to be put into the equation. An unwillingness to bend. Habits have to change. And set ways cannot stay set.
Well, that's just the way I've always done that.
Each person starts thinking that their way is the best way and the right way, or their way is the only way. And in most cases, that's not true. Unless you're talking about Bible, which never comes into the equation, that's not true. Everything can be adjusted. Differences, okay, two minds have to mesh. And differences are not wrong as long as they're not allowed to cause hatred. One person cannot do all the bending in the marriage. Both have to bend. when he bends and bends and bends, if he's the only one bending all the time, eventually he breaks. You ever heard that statement? Boy, they're really bent out of shape. That's where that comes from. Boy, they just kept bending and bending and bending. She cannot keep bending and bending and bending, or she'll break. One person out of the two cannot keep doing that. Unwillingness to bend causes a dream to become a nightmare. It is wrong, okay, here we go, then let me try to fix it. Okay, ready? It is wrong to expect to have your way all the time. You can't do that. It won't work. It doesn't work on the job for it. It doesn't work anywhere. I cannot have my way all the time. Think about it just for a second. God puts, marriage is when God puts two opposites together. There's a reason she's totally different than him. There's a reason he's different from her. God's plan was putting two opposites together. Ready? Here we go. One is a night owl and one is an early bird. Okay? And the night owl always thinks the early bird is a buzzard. Okay? That was a joke. I wish you'd heard that. All right? But they're opposites. One gets up, can get up early. The other one, they're opposites. They're opposites. How about this? Stevie the slob marries Princess Poyetta. And they're opposite, you know. I was going to say maybe, you know, pigsty Pam, but at any rate, a slob and then you got a neat and a germ freak who wears a mask and gloves all the time. They're opposites. You've got a saver with money and you got a spender. They're two opposites, and there has to be give. There has to be an attitude of, you know what, when we approach a problem, I can give a little and you can give a little and we can come to a mutual agreement. But unwillingness to bend where the other person is expected to do that all the time destroys every relationship. When God tells us in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Yeah, you say, well, that's a church verse. It's a home verse too. When I love my wife, I want to prefer her. What would you like? You know, it's funny. You know, we used to have our favorite restaurants. You know, when we were little, when we were young. That's funny. That was stupid. But now when she goes, where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? And she goes, wherever you want to eat. And she goes, well, what do you want to pick up? I said, well, what do you want to pick up? And what do you prefer? What would you like as far as it doesn't? Well, it has to be this. And I'm trying to help you tonight as far as having an understanding. Paraphrased, in honor preferring one another means this. Grow up and realize you can't always have everything your way. And you need to learn to let people win. Have you ever noticed how you handle your friendships now is how you'll handle your marriage later? That's why learning to be a friend, learning to love people, it all transfers. It doesn't, you can't be a jerk your whole life and then get married and then expect, well, the ring's got magic in it. Bring. It doesn't work that way. How you deal with people everywhere else. That's why they always say, watch a boy how he treats his mom. That's how he's going to treat his wife. Watch the girl how much love and respect she has for her dad. That will transfer to whoever she marries. If she's nasty with her dad, careful. It transfers. There's no magic in the ring. Learning to love and care. Learning to let others win. Learning to bend. I said, number one, what causes a dream to be a nightmare? Unreal expectations. Marriage produces problems. It's wonderful when you can think of marriage this way. I think this is safe, and this is the way I've viewed marriage. Marriage is, I don't know what problems we're going to face, but I know we're going to face a bunch. I don't know if it's going to be a car accident where one of us can't walk again. I don't know if it's going to be a financial reversal to where we lose everything. I don't know if it's going to be a miscarriage or a baby that's born that is birth defect. I watched a couple, and when we were in Tennessee, you know, the stupid vaccines. They give this cocktail of vaccines to little babies, and sure enough, the ones linked to SIDS and the baby stopped breathing for too long and the brain died. They brought it back, and then the baby did nothing but scream till it went to sleep. And every time it was awake, it would scream. I remember the mom came over to our house, tears, exhausted. They got a divorce in about, I think it took a month. I didn't know how to help them. I didn't know. I knew they weren't supposed to get a divorce. I knew they weren't. She was like, what do I do? Do you remember that? I didn't know what to tell them. What do we do? The baby just, I mean, it was a constant scream. The brain was dead. When problems come, I don't know what problems we're going to face when we get married, but we're going to face quite a few. And marriage is me saying, it's going to be a bumpy road, but I won't leave you. I won't leave you with a problem. We'll solve them together. No matter what we face, the pain and the heartache and the tears, that is a marriage. It is not, well, now that we're married, everything will be wonderful. I'm just telling you, it's fantasy land. It doesn't work. How does a dream become a nightmare? Unreal expectations. Number two, impatience. Number three, unwillingness to bend. And number four, ready? Unwillingness to improve yourself. You could say this is a little bit like number three, but let me expound on this. Unwillingness to improve yourself. There are lists that every husband has about his wife on things that he wishes she would change. And the longer you live together, the longer the list. And did you know every wife has a list of things that she wishes her husband would change? And the longer you live together, the longer the list, right? That's reality, right? Because husband and wife know each other's flaws and strengths better than anybody. So, how? You say, well, preacher, then if everybody's got a list, what should we do with the list? Here's what I think you should do. Make the list, swap it, swap lists, and then you work on you. You work on you. God never gave you the power or the ability to change anybody. And the more you say, well, they just need to do this and they need to do this, the more frustrated you're going to be in life because you have hard enough problems with you, let alone wishing somebody else would do something. Are you nuts? Here we go again. That's not reality. Reality is the only person you can change is you. And if I want a good marriage, I need to work at being the best husband I can be. And my wife, she works at being the best wife she can be. And in the midst of our sinnerships, we'll get her done. Amen? But it will not be flawless, but each one has to work on themselves. They can't be coming, you know, every morning when you get up, okay, today you're going to work on this. I promise it's not going to work. Your ability to work on you now. If you make the list too long for you, you'll get discouraged and you'll quit. I watch church members do that because all of us have a list of things. If I asked you to make a list right now of 10 things you think God wishes you would improve, I already know it's at the top of the top three things at every list. And you learn in the Christian life, I have a lot of problems. I need to just be working on one at a time. Because if I work on the whole wheelbarrow of manure, it dumps and I get upset. I can only handle one problem of Greg Nash at a time. I can't handle a whole list. And watch this, Christian, neither can you. So as you love the Lord and you walk with the Lord, you learn how to handle a list. And you learn, I know this is going back to expectations and having unreal expectations, but being a Christian and learning to work on me helps me with all of my other relationships. And anytime I can get too frustrated with somebody, well, they just really irk me, or they really frost me, or, man, that really just gets under my skin. Anytime I start complaining about somebody else, all I need to do is just say, yeah, that does bother me, but I wish that was the only problem I had, right? And I need to start focusing on me. How can you help a willing wife become a better wife? I said willing. I think you could read 1 Timothy 2:15. I think having children, if she's able to have children, that helps her. The Bible says it does. Do you know why? Because being a mother is a tremendous sacrifice. She gives her life for the kid. You say, well, he should too. I know, but normally, if he's out providing and she's there with the kids, she's there with them more. And that sacrifice causes her to be, she lives for others more, and the more she does that, the bigger her heart grows, and it helps. How about this? How can you help a willing wife become a better wife if she'll have the philosophy that her marriage is her career? We live in a day and age where if you're a homemaker, there used to be the statement, and you don't hear it anymore, but the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. That's because the highest calling everybody knew in America, when the women are handling their homes right and their kids right, the kids turn out well. But now they want role reversals, and she should go be the CEO, and he should stay home and raise the kids. And being a homemaker or being a stay-at-home wife is degrading and all that. There was, when America was great and when America was thriving and when we were raising good kids, that woman that stays at home, everybody knew that's the greatest, highest position in the land. But we live in a day and age where motherhood and all that is diminished and the home is made fun of. And I think it's wonderful to teach a girl, when you get to be a mother, married and a wife, you're in the highest position in the land. She's a queen. Teach them that. It's not a woman with a career. Although I'm not saying it's sinful to do that. Okay, let's go the opposite way. Why should a girl be taught to have to work in the world? Because there are some that won't get married, right? That needs to be in the equation. It needs to be there. So how about this? We'll take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is the last verse we'll look at tonight. 1 Corinthians 14. You know, when I teach a lesson like this, I hope it helps our whole church know what to tell the young people. If we're all of the same mind and we're all focused on helping everybody want helping everybody have a good marriage, if you get married, then everybody can be saying the same thing versus, you know, you've heard me say, it's horrible when a mother says to you, when are you going to give me some grandkids? When they're pushing it, you don't want to push it. You don't want that. So it's wonderful, a message like that. I know this is, it's heavy, and I'm trying to, but it's good truth, and it's good prep. It's good prep. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And once again, this isn't talking about a woman teaching a woman's class, or when they come in the church, right when they cross the threshold, they're supposed to zip it and not talk until they cross the threshold back into... Well, maybe it... No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Okay, so it's not talking about... it's not talking about that, because the next verse says... It's talking about public speaking. A woman's not supposed to be a preacher. All right? So it's a shame for them to speak in the church when they're usurping authority. But look at the next verse. It says, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it's a shame for a woman, for women to speak in the church. It's talking about preaching. It's not talking about, hi, how you doing, and all of that stuff. I praise God for the ladies of our church. Here we go. Let's apply it. The husband, to help his wife, needs to be more spiritual than the wife, because that's what the verse says. Women have a tendency to be more spiritual than men, But if the husband reads the verse, he's supposed to be strong enough to where when she has questions about the Bible, she can ask him. You say, well, she's supposed to ask the pastor. She can ask the pastor, but the Bible says let her ask her husband. So if he's trying to help her, he gives her the spiritual security by being, he should work, and I know it's not a contest, but he should work at being more spiritual than her. Otherwise, he won't be able to answer her questions. That's why one time a girl that had graduated from a Bible college 4 years was getting ready to, was dating a guy, and he'd never been to Bible college. And I said, I think it's great as long as we see the problems that are coming, because he's going to have to live with the fact that you know more Bible than him, and if he can do that, then that's good. If not, that's going to play head games. I'm not telling you need to go to Bible college before you get married. I'm telling you, this is going to cause problems. Well, she knows the Bible and he doesn't. You don't think that's going to frustrate him? Be careful. I'm just trying to help see problems. The husband needs to constantly to try to fulfill her number one need, which is security. And that's what the Bible teaches. Let them, if they learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Here we go. How can a wife help a willing husband become a better husband? How can she do that? Understanding that he is more responsible for the success of the marriage than the wife. The husband needs to understand that. He is the high priest of the home. He's the one that's going. God will never ask the wife how come the kids turned out the way they did. The husband gets that. That's his weight, his responsibility. It would help if he understood that. Then he wouldn't be so, I think, quick. I watch some men just you know, she's the woman, so she's supposed to be spiritual, and he doesn't have to be spiritual. I think it's a dangerous way to think. I think it's awful. It leads to nothing but pain. How about this? How can she help a willing husband become a better husband? Develop the ability to bend without breaking. How come there's two extremes, okay? Probably because we're sinners, okay? But you either have the guy that's King Kong, you know, and this, or you got Mighty Mouse, you know, and he lets her do everything and won't lead. So you either got King Kong or Mighty Mouse. How come there's nothing in between? The balance. And finally, how can she help a willing husband become a better husband? to give him an affectionate wife. That helps. Problem number 5, and we're all done. Okay, I've given you 5 problems. How does a dream become a nightmare? Problem number 5, unfair judging of one another. Unfair judging of one another. When something happens that disappoints the other, okay, here's what I find. If too much disappointment happens, then this starts coming up. Well, they're probably not even saved. You're not supposed to judge whether anybody's saved or not. But they're dealing with disappointments, and you're going to get into an area where the pain is leading you to unfairly judge. If it's a matter of the heart, then if it's an expression of the heart, then you're supposed to leave it alone. You're not supposed to judge it. For instance, when one tells the other, I love you, you accept it and believe them. When one tells the other, I'm sorry, you accept it and believe them. You don't say, well, what do you mean by that? You can't second guess everything. None of us have the gift of mind reading. Tonight, I hope this lesson helps. It's called How a Dream Became a Nightmare, and there are problems in marriages. And I will gladly do marriage counseling. I'm not trying to drum up business for myself. I'm trying to say, wouldn't it, unreal expectations, if you could fix that? And just understand, 1 Corinthians 7:27 is such a landmark Bible, 28 is such a landmark Bible verse in your Bible. Marriage creates problems. It exposes problems where both have to get involved to help solve them. But getting married in the ring, it doesn't solve any problems. And that is, it can be, if it's approached rightfully, it can be one of the most enjoyable parts of marriage, is working together to solve the problem. God put us together. God knew we were going to have this problem, and it's exciting to work through it and do it God's way. And that's one way couples draw closer, not having any problems. I hope this is a help to you. How a dream became a nightmare. Let's pray. Father, please, in our day and age, I pray that you could help the young people, Lord, the single people in our church, Lord, to think.